Well, if you're not in Galatians 5, I'd ask you to turn there. And you might also, if you were there at Luke 10, hold your place. And the story of the Good Samaritans, we'll look at that briefly in this message. But we're looking at kindness today. We've been in this series on the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, taking each one of these fruit in a sermon on each one so we really understand them in context. And we said it's one thing to just say that verse, the fruit of the Spirit is, you know, dot, dot, dot. But to really know what they mean, well, that's a whole different story. To really experience them, are we growing in these character qualities of God's Spirit, of Jesus Christ's character in our own lives? Are we being changed? And our role, of course, is not to produce those fruit, because we can't. That's what makes it fruit. But to cooperate with the Spirit as we cultivate and do the things we can do as we work with the Holy Spirit, and He'll use it as we depend on Him and get in His Word and look for the opportunities to serve Him and be obedient to Him in the different areas of life. He'll cultivate, He'll grow this spiritual fruit in us. We mature and grow in Christ's likeness. And Philippians 2, 12 to 13 sums it up well. It says, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and act according to His good purpose." And we saw the first fruit is the central one out of which all the other fruits flow. And what is that? We saw a number of weeks ago, God's love. And it's not the worldly idea of lust or self-centered love, but it's the love of God as we rest in that assurance that we are His children and we know that love, it's other-centered and we are transformed by it. All these other qualities flow out of our experience of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ as helpless and hopeless sinners. And also, then it becomes more and more focused on what He's doing, not only to change our lives because of His love in the gospel, but the lives of people around us in the church and other Christians. And as we have that other-centered focus, everything else flows out of that, that focus on the gospel. Then we talked about joy, right? Joy flows out of God's love in Christ. And it's not happiness. It's not this up and down kind of depending on circumstances type of mindset. Someone said joy is the surest sign of God's presence. It's a Christian virtue. It is the core Christian virtue with love. And we're meant to grow in joy. It's not changing with circumstances. It's an attitude based on who we are in Christ and what we know God is doing to change our lives. And then we talked about peace. Peace is not a warm, happy feeling, Christian peace. No, because we're right with God, we have the peace up with God, then we experience God's peace. We know we're right with Him. And it's this attitude and mindset as well that we have. And then we talked about patience. Patience, the ability to endure as God's love is changing us. Out of that will flow patience, and we'll endure through circumstances and problems we saw last week, but also dealing with difficult people. We'll be forbearing. We talked about patience last week. Well, we come to the fifth fruit today, and that's a well-known one that we certainly throw the word around a lot, but do we understand it? That's kindness, the fifth fruit. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, "Love is patient and suffers long, and it is kind." It says there that kindness, 1 Corinthians 13 says, love shows kindness. Because in 1 Corinthians 13, love is a verb. Chris Wright said, if patience is a tough kind of fruit, enduring, you know, well then kindness is a tender type of fruit. We ought to have both, a toughness and a tenderness. Paul puts kindness, I believe, right after patience and the fruit of the Spirit, of course, because both are essential qualities that flow from our experience of God's love and joy and peace, and then affecting our relationships with other people as we grow to be patient and show practical kindness. The point is, to be patient and kind, you must be experiencing God's love, and those will be, patience and kindness, practical outworkings in real life with dealing with other people. So they're right after love. And, you know, someone said when you love people, it's easier to be patient with them. And being kind to others is one of the most important parts of becoming a loving Christian. And we need to remember that. What is kindness then? What's kindness? Well, It's obviously a part of experiencing God's love and loving others, but it focuses more specifically on our practical actions that flow from an attitude and our outlook and perspective of those around us. Let me explain what I mean. Terry Johnson says the word for kindness is charisotes. The word literally means to be charitable in our assessment and our treatment of other people. Plummer, this commentator, said, "It's a sweetness of temper that puts others at ease and shrinks from giving pain." Gordon Fee said, "Kindness is active goodness on the behalf of other people." Someone said it's to be disposed to be useful. It's a disposition, it's an attitude to be useful, to be practical. Lewis Smead said, "Kindness is love's readiness to enhance the life of another person." I love that definition. Love's readiness to enhance the life of another person. It's about a readiness. It's about a mindset, an attitude, kindness. To be kind is to be warm, of course, generous, benevolent, thoughtful, helpful. It's an attitude, ultimately, of humility, compassion, that then results in actions. Now, we'll look at goodness next week. And goodness kind of relates, it seems to be similar to kindness, and it deals with the actions that we have. But goodness deals, we'll see next week, a little bit more with the whole character of a person, a Christian, our integrity. Kindness involves showing sympathy, understanding, generosity, help, especially to those that don't deserve it. We know what it's like, don't we, to have somebody to be kind to us, to go out of their way and say something nice, do something nice. We'll usually say, not what a kind thing you did, or that was kind, but you're too kind. Because we kind of put together that if a person's doing kind things regularly, it's because they're a kind person. It's a character trait. It comes from their hearts. So kindness is a mindset, an attitude that develops as we're experiencing God's grace and love in the gospel of Christ, the joy and peace that's there, resulting in patience and kindness. But kindness, get this, goes farther than patience we looked at last week. Patience is more focused on waiting on others, enduring, not seeking revenge, but seeking to hold back, to be like God. Kindness, someone said, is not merely enduring the failures and sins of others. It's not content to merely tolerate people, patience. No, kindness is not content with putting up with others simply. It wants to return acts of love, to do good. Kindness refuses to be unkind or rude, even when it's hard, even when people hurt us. But it also wants to, as God's working, be focused on others' needs and to do good things, even helpful to those that have been difficult and hurtful, those who curse or criticize. Like in a broken relationship, whatever it is, marriage, friendship, the church, the fruit of patience would be the one helping that person to endure and not fight back. But kindness would be that quality that involves attitude and action, words and commitment to bring comfort and soothing and healing to the relationship. That's how God uses kindness. Now, Colossians 3, verse 12, it says, "As God's elect, beloved, holy, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other as Christ forgave you." Now, we talk about killing people with kindness, right? But the better idea is that God works through our kindness to bring healing, to cure through the gospel, to help us heal in broken relationships, and ultimately to point people to the only one, the ultimate healer, the one who is ultimately kind, Jesus Christ. John Trent tells this story of working at this Christian youth camp where this guy named Mitch was the speaker for the week. And they had this lady who worked there as a cook. And she would talk to the speaker. Mitch would talk to her. And every time she did her job, but it was exhausting. And every time they talked and talked about plans, it was said this speaker, Mitch, would let her have his seat all the time throughout the week and throughout the whole camp. And nobody really seemed to notice this little act of kindness, except this one lost young man named Mark who was there. And he wasn't there at the camp to hear about Jesus, but he saw this love of God and these simple acts of kindness by this speaker to this lady and perhaps other ones. And he had come to hear the gospel, and he came to give his life to Jesus Christ. And he said later, it wasn't the message that made the difference at first. It was the love of Jesus Christ seen in those little acts of kindness by this Christian man. It is true, as they say, they don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. And that's true, isn't it, for all of us as Christians, not just pastors. You know, we've all had those times, wouldn't you agree, where you know clearly it's been the Holy Spirit working through you, producing the spiritual fruit that He alone can to help you love somebody. They've been so hard on you, they've attacked you, critical of you. Maybe you've seen this in some other Christian in the way that they love. And you know it has to be God. It has to be the fruit of Jesus' character working through you. I read about this story of Ernest Gordon, a member of the British Army in the Japanese camp, the River Kwai. And they were going through the jungles of Asia, and they came upon these Japanese soldiers, and they gave them love. These men were dying, and they were their enemies, but they cared for them. They helped them. I read about this minister on a more normal level. He had this man 5 or 10 years before in his ministry attack him, put him down, and then 5 or 10 years later, called up wanting advice about how to help his back. And this minister said, it went through my mind so tempting to want to tell him, call 000. You know. But the Spirit led me to help him, to listen. That's the fruit of the Spirit, of kindness, flowing through a Christian to someone, even when you're loving someone that doesn't deserve it, that's been difficult to you. So kindness is developing a mindset of thinking more of others than ourselves in practical things. If kindness is growing in us as a spiritual fruit, it'll mean our first thoughts more and more, our instinct is to help others and not think about how to protect ourselves. We'll see that growing in us if it's true. We're going to think more and more about, well, what can I do to help that Christian? What are they going through? What can I do to help this person at work that's struggling? What can I do to reach out to this person who's been difficult? It means resting in God's love, and we become more and more than other-centered, thinking less about ourselves and more about what others are facing and thinking about what it's like in their shoes, in their situation, and how would I want to be treated if I was in that situation? It's God's love developing this readiness, this attitude of practical love. Like Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do to you. So kindness is practically God's love and joy and peace changing us so that we're ready for opportunities to serve, to look for ways to help. Kindness is the ability to care for others in practical details. Someone said, kindness knows how to turn the grand vows you make in a wedding ceremony into washing dishes, taking out the trash, even when it's not your turn. Kindness knows how to take the great hopes someone has in a hospital nursery and turn them into practical deeds of changing diapers and staying up with the kids that are sick. Kindness means we learn, as God's love changes us, to adapt to circumstances more and more, and people. In the early days of Christianity, there was, it said in history, confusion among the pagans about whether or not these Christians were followers of Christ or kind people. Because the word Christos, kind, and Christos, Christ, got them confused. And they were thinking, okay, are these the kindness people? Because they showed so much kindness that they got confused over whether they were followers of Christ. But God still used that to point people to the fact that they trusted Christ. That's why they were kind. May God use that confusion if people have it through us today. William Barclay, he said, more people have been brought into the church by the kindness of real Christian love than all the theological arguments in the world. You know the story of the Good Samaritan that we just read a few minutes ago? Well, this lawyer we see there wants to justify why he should go to heaven. He's a theologian, and he wants to justify why what his neighbor should be, right? Limit who his neighbor is. And people today, they'll say that even true. Well, you know, charity begins at home. I don't hurt any of those people out there, but, you know, I can't love everybody. Certainly, you've got to limit who my neighbor is. But Jesus told this story of the man left for dead on the deep decline leading from Jerusalem to Jericho. And not one, but two religious men passed by him. First, the priest who just stays on the other side of the road. But even worse, maybe the Levite who crosses over and takes a look and then leaves. And what we know is they were probably coming from one of the greatest times of the year when they were serving at the temple in Jerusalem. Coming back home, they might have had all kinds of excuses running through their minds, perhaps. Well, what if I'm unclean because of touching him or put myself in danger? You know, I've got a family to feed. God understands. I've got too many things to deal with here. Somebody else will do it. But the third person who, so unexpected, the Samaritan who was hated by the Jews, he comes down the road and he gets down and he shows compassion. He feels compassion. He shows kindness. He takes care of this man's wounds, cleansing them with wine. He wraps him with bandages. He takes him to the local inn on his donkey and sacrifices. The Samaritan of all people shows kindness and pays him attention and cares for him. And Jesus asked this lawyer, which of these were the neighbor to the man hurt on the road? Jesus switches the question, doesn't he? Not, well, who is my neighbor? Limited. But what kind of neighbor are you growing to be in love and kindness? That's the real question. And he can't even say the guy's name, Samaritan, because they hated each other so much. He says, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus says, you go and do likewise. The point is, to become kind, it's only going to come as we experience the amazing love of Jesus who came from heaven into the muck of this world and knelt down to come and save us. Kindness is not going to come in our lives by us trying to figure out all of the parameters. It's not neat and tidy by us defining who fits the criteria. If we're more focused on trying to limit who we're going to be kind to, and we're saying, well, what can I get away with, you know, today? We're not going to grow in kindness. We need to be growing most of all in what kind of neighbor am I becoming? Am I growing in humility? See, I think Jesus wanted them to see that it was this Samaritan who was humble, who was hated, who was looked down upon, who knew his need, that was one human being reaching out in compassion to another human being. And they needed to see that. And so do we. We're not going to grow in showing love and compassion if we're prideful, if we're focused on ourselves, if we think, well, we're Christians, you know, and we've got it kind of together. We got to understand we're beggars who know where to get the bread, and then we'll grow. Jesus wanted them to see it's who we're becoming as a neighbor that matters, not who the neighbors are around us. Who is our neighbor, Jesus is saying? It's whoever we come across that God leads us to that's in need. And as his love works in us, he changes us. So kindness involves action, but it's more of an attitude that has to be cultivated. It's a heart disposition, a readiness to reach out in listening and encouraging and giving. And so the question is, I want us to look at in this message as we move on, is how does God cultivate that kindness in us? How does he cultivate that attitude, that disposition, as his love changes us, as we depend on the Spirit? Because just like a garden has seeds planted, and we don't make the seeds have to be cultivated, don't they? It needs water, it needs sunlight. What can we do as we depend on the Spirit to work with God and cooperate so that this kindness will be cultivated? Well, number one thing, really two main things. But on the second one, I want to break down a couple practical things pretty quickly. But number one is savor God's kindness. Understand it, reflect on it, remember it. When Paul wanted Christians to know how to love, he gave lists. Yes, he gave commands. But he ultimately always went back to the story of God's amazing kindness in Jesus Christ. There's nothing else that's going to make us kind except us experiencing more and more of that. I love the story of this parents that were having trouble with a teenage girl that was rebelling. And One evening late, the wife was surprised to get a call from her. She was babysitting for a friend. And the mom said, "Is everything okay?" And she said, "Mom, I just wanted to call and let you know I'm very sorry for being a little difficult teenager lately." She was really humble. And she said, "That's great, but why are you calling me now?" She said, "Well, I've been reflecting on this and thinking about it, Mom." And she said, "It's your kindness that got to me. It's just like the more I'm getting bad, the more kindness you show to me." It impacted her. God's kindness does that in the ultimate way. Romans 2, Paul said, "Or do you despise the richness of his kindness, goodness, forbearance, knowing that it's the goodness and kindness of God that leads you to repentance?" In Psalm 63, look that up sometime, David says, "Your love, Lord, is better than life." But you know the word he uses in Hebrew there is the word hesed, used over and over in the Old Testament to talk about God's character, to talk about his love. But specifically, hesed means his loving kindness, his covenant love and faithfulness, his steadfast love. David says that loving kindness is better than life because it's steadfast. It never changes. God is a God who made promises, and because he's loving kindness and his steadfast love, he never forgets those. He says that love is better than life itself because it never changes. You know, Psalm 23, we always quote it. At the very end, it says, "Your love and mercy will follow me the days of my life till eternity." Well, that's the word there, loving kindness. Hesed. The point is, in the Old Testament, we see God's wrath at specific times. But when you look at the overall picture, it's one of God's loving kindness to his people. He never lets go. He continues to show that kindness. Think about Jesus, God himself incarnate, walking this earth, ministering to the people that others pushed aside. He cared. He put himself on the shelf, as they say. He loved. He had a ministry with so many interruptions where he then sought to meet people's needs, healing the sick, caring for the hungry, curing the blind. He even ministered to the worst in society, and when he was on the cross, he was thinking about his mother's needs. Look it up. Chris Wright said, "To the poor, the sick, and marginalized people, everybody pushed aside, Jesus showed extraordinary kindness, giving precious time and attention to their needs." One man said, "If kindness is essentially loving others enough to put their needs ahead of yours, well, Jesus was kindness incarnate. Kindness walking on two legs. That's God." Titus 3, we read it in the call to worship. "But the kindness and love of our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration through the Spirit he poured out on abundantly in us in Jesus Christ." The point in Titus 3 is that kindness, we know, results in humble acts of serving and caring up for others. But it only flows from us as Christians resting and growing and experiencing God's kindness. Kindness flows from an appreciation and application of God's kindness to our lives. And that has to affect our lives. Why? Because the kindness of God is what defines real kindness. Because Titus 3 says it's about God showing kindness to us because of who he is. Not because we deserve it, but because he's merciful. It's about him coming into our situation because of his love to see our need and meet our need and come and give us eternal life and transform us. The kindness of God, the love of our Savior toward man appeared. That's Jesus Christ. God's kindness is about him pouring out his Spirit, giving us everlasting life. I read this story about a dad who said he felt as though his son's body had been taken over by aliens. Of course, he was joking. But he said, "All of a sudden, my son was different. He was more humble, obedient, contrite, teachable." And he said, then he realized he was right. His son had been taken over by aliens in a sense. An alien and supernatural power, someone living inside of him, had come to dwell, God's own Spirit. And his son was more kind and gracious. Because, you know, when you're born again, if you're truly a Christian, God gives you his own character and begins growing in you. And it includes this kindness. You know, when the Australian fires were raging and firefighters went in to fight those fires, that was an act of kindness, wasn't it? They went in to save lives. And they didn't sit back and analyze and say, well, should I be able to do this? Could I do this? They had an ability. They had resources. They had a calling, and they went in and they fought it. That was kindness in a way, wasn't it? Definitely. It's like the song, find a need and fill it. Find the hurt and ask God to heal it. See, kindness is based on God's attitude in saving us and the resulting actions of His mercy affecting Him to send Jesus to save us, and it transforms our lives. He came at great cost to save us. And now God, as we experience His kindness, He'll work through us to show that kindness in acts of listening and caring and giving and serving as we reflect on His love. And that's the first key, is to savor that kindness. Reflect on it. Number two is to show that kindness. Reach out with it. Represent God's kindness. Knowing the kindness of God enables us to start showing the kindness of God. You know, it says in Colossians 3 that whatever we do it in Christ's name. That means we ought to have the perspective that in all that we're doing, we're representing Christ. We're to remember He's with us. If we'll keep that attitude, it'll help us to think differently and to show kindness. Here's some practical things I want to close with. We'll break these down. They all start with S, so we can kind of look at how we show this kindness. How does God cultivate kindness? Number one is sacrifice. Sacrifice. Kindness goes beyond duty, someone said. It means something you do that you don't have to necessarily, but you do it as God leads you. He empowers you. There's sacrifice. It usually costs something, and we don't expect anything in return. Jesus said in Luke 6, we love your enemies. Do good to those who are enemies. Expect nothing in return, and you'll be sons of the Most High God, for He Himself is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Stuart Briscoe tells of a time he was with his wife. He's a pastor in the U.S. years ago. They were on this mission trip in Niger, and they were in this area that was so barren. And some of the missionaries, he said, there had tried to grow these flowers with little success, but they got into their room and there was a single red flower there that his wife Jill loved, and they came to realize that had been the one flower that year that had grown on this particular bush, the only one, and they had brought soil in from another country and done all this to help this one flower grow, and the lady knew they were coming and took it and just plucked it and put it in their room. And she said, it was worth the cost if it made you happy. Listen, Christian kindness takes effort and sacrifice, but because of the power of God working through it, it is worth it, because God uses it in evangelism to build us together as Christians and to reach out with His love. And so rather than us maybe in our different situations saying, well, how much is that going to cost me? What little can I get away with in doing things? Or rationalizing, well, I don't think I should do that. Maybe the first thing we ought to ask, if we want to grow in kindness, is say, God, is there a way I can help? Ask Him that. Get around those in need. I know we need to set boundaries, but sometimes we shut ourselves off from what God wants to do through us. So sacrifice. Number two is support. If you want to grow in kindness, how do we support? I love the story of this new Christian, a young man in uni named Bill, who came to know Christ in university time. I read about it, and he was wild-haired at the time, a t-shirt-wearing uni student, torn jeans, the whole deal. And he lived across the street from this well-dressed, very conservative church across from the university. And that church, he had heard, wanted to start a ministry to reach students. But they didn't know where to begin. But he decided one day he'd go across to that church, and he walked in with his t-shirt, holy jeans, wild hair. The service had already started. He's walking down the aisle looking for a seat, and he couldn't find one because it was pretty well packed. And this young man, Bill, just decided to come right down on the carpet and just sit down in the front on the carpet. And people are getting tense. What's going on here? And finally, this older man, a godly man, about 80, was walking down the aisle slowly with his cane coming down. And people are wondering, what's he going to do? The pastor can't preach like this. Maybe he's going to ask him to leave. And this elderly man, all you can start to hear was his cane hitting the ground. And he finally gets up there, and he drops his cane to the ground. And with a lot of difficulty, this older man, this godly man, lowered himself and sat down next to this young man, Bill, as they began to worship. And the pastor got up, everybody silent. He said, "What I'm going to say, I don't know you're going to remember, but I say what you will have just seen, you're never going to forget." Now this is kindness that supports Christ-like love, following the model of the one who came from heaven to earth to sit down with us and save us, that we'll never be alone again. Now he wants that love and kindness to flow through us. He wants to work through us so people will see that kindness. Romans 12 says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another." They did a study one time of these doctors. They wanted to test what kindness would do in little things. And they gave 44 different doctors the symptoms of hypothetical patients and asked them to come up with a diagnosis. But it wasn't about how well the doctors could diagnose the sickness. No, before the experiment started, they gave half of the doctors a bag of lollies with a note that said, "Thank you for doing this." And they didn't give anything to the other half. And Cornell University said that the ones receiving the lollies did a better job in that moment of diagnosing the problems. We overlook little things sometimes, don't we? Kindness, someone said, is the oil that takes the friction out of life. If someone paid us $100 for every time over the last number of months that we've been kind to someone, and then they ask us to pay $50 for every time we've been unkind, what would we have? Sensitivity is the next thing. Not only sacrifice and support, how about sensitivity? You know, this is where true kindness practically flows from. As we're sensitive to needs, as we're aware, but many times we're so caught up in the other things we have to do, we don't see it. We know Jesus, he saw them and felt compassion on the crowds. Remember that? He saw, and then he saw the opportunities. He was moved with compassion, but we don't see something. Philippians 2 says, "Let each of you look not only to your own interest, but the interest of others." One of the keys to kindness being cultivated is sensitivity. Remember Jonah? That story we know so well. I don't have the time to tell it all, but you know, he knew God was compassionate. And he knew if the Ninevites that God wanted him to preach to repented, God was going to relent and show them mercy. And Jonah didn't want to go, and he got on a boat and went as far as he thought he could away. God caught him with a fish, gave him a second chance. He preached to them, they repented, God relented. This is Jonah in a snapshot. And then Jonah is crying, essentially, belly aching in Jonah 4. Why? Because God showed them compassion. And in Jonah's mind, those Ninevites don't deserve compassion and to know God's love like we Israelites do. That's the problem, wasn't it? Pride blocks us from becoming kind. Jonah wasn't kind because all he could think about was how he deserved and the Jews deserved God's kindness. And God's kindness couldn't flow through him to anybody else at that time, essentially, or not very well, because of that pride. Humility is key in growing in kindness, because then we start to look at ourselves in humility, knowing we need God's kindness. Then we look at others with eyes of compassion. We start to see their needs more. Kindness grows as we're softened to our spouse's needs, as we see the pressure people at work are facing. Everybody's looking differently because of this. Remember King David in Samuel 9? He showed kindness as the king to the grandson of Saul, who had died. Remember, David and Jonathan, Saul's son, were good friends. And David the king had earlier made a promise. Jonathan asked him to make to show kindness, God's kindness, to his family. And now that Jonathan and Saul are dead, David is looking for someone to show kindness to and keep that promise. He had to show God's kindness. And David finds Mephibosheth, praise God I said that right, who was disabled, the grandson of Saul, and he promises, "You can sit at my table the rest of your life and I'll restore your land." David shows kindness, God's kindness. You know what someone said one time? Busyness is the enemy of kindness. We got people to see, places to go, things to do. Oh yeah, maybe I'd help them, you know, but I've got to do this. And God understands what's important for me. We're too busy to be kind. We don't even see it. And then we leave things undone that God might want us to do, and we can sin. So who are we looking for to show kindness? Then fourth thing here is sympathy. Are you growing in sympathy? Sacrifice, support, sensitivity, being aware. What about sympathy? If you want to be kind. Too often what we can do is assume, well, we understand what they're going through. And we don't take the time to recognize that we don't understand it. Ask God to help us understand it and have sympathy for someone. I used to say to my wife at times years ago, well, everything's going to be okay. Well, yeah, maybe it is. But where's the empathy? You know, we do this, don't we, with parents sometimes, with kids. We forget what it was like to be a teenager. We can do it as kids can with adults. They think they know what it's like to be a 40-year-old. We can do it middle-aged people with elderly people. Where's the sympathy? You know what flows out of that lack of sympathy? Either you don't do anything or you say things that are just dumb and don't really help. We've got to grow in sympathy, don't we? Ask God to help us. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. We take the time to recognize how others are feeling. It says to be tender-hearted, Ephesians 4:32, and kind to each other. And that tender-heartedness God can produce, that gentle compassion. You know, many times as we go through difficult things in life and we're patient, we grow to see things differently, don't we? Patience results in kindness. We go through trials, God uses it to help us become more sympathetic. We become more kind. And then finally, last thing as we close briefly, is spontaneity. David Jeremiah said, compassion is about the moment. It's about what I have heard, what I have in hand, money, talent, encouragement, a shoulder to cry on that will meet someone's needs. Kindness is about those times in life when God intends us to be the helper and use us to bring spiritual healing. Galatians 6 says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those that are in the household of faith. Proverbs 3 says, if you can do good to your neighbor and you've got something in hand, don't say, go, I'll go and come back, and tomorrow I'll give it. Do it now. It's Proverbs 3. How quick are we to turn away from things and to say, I'll do it later? Have you ever had those times where you knew you needed to do something, but you say, well, I'll do it later on. I've got other things to do. You delay, and then you delay and delay, and then you start to be embarrassed about it. Well, I can't do it now. You don't know how God, maybe in that moment he's wanting us to do something, but we want to put it off. And we all struggle with that, don't we? I do as well. But the opportunity may not last. If we want to grow in cultivating a heart that's kind and becoming more Christ-like, how prepared are we to act when the time comes as we close? Think about five people that God might have us to be kind to this next week or next month. Ask God to show you. And then ask God for me and you to be ready to know perhaps how we might handle it when the time comes. I know we've got to be spontaneous, but we can be prepared, can't we? Say, Lord, what will I say if this situation comes? Will I be ready? What can I do to help? And God will help us grow in showing His kindness. Let's close in prayer today.